Welcome. It's the Internet Advisor. And as the young lady said, we're back with Mike Brennan, who is the editor of My Tech News. We do this on a weekly basis. Mike steps in here and gives us some of the headlines that he offers, just a few of them that give you a little kind of a little hors d'oeuvre, a little smattering of the kind of things that he offers on a regular basis, free of charge. You can subscribe to it at mitechnews.com. Mike, welcome to the show again.
Thanks, Foster.
We've got some headlines we're going to look at with you, giving people kind of a sense of what you're doing. And one of them is about a lady who was honored as the Woman of the Year in Technology recently by one of our favorite organizations.
The Michigan Council of Women in Technology Foundation. And
that's right.
That was a week ago, I think, November 5th. Mm-hmm. I was at the event. I actually did a profile of Nancy about a year and a half ago when she came into the U of M School of Information, and that's where all the computer folks get their training. Used to be the library school, but now it's the computer school. And she has a fabulous track record, been involved with 10 startups, 8 of which were exits. That means she made money when they got sold.
Mm.
So I question her sense for why is she teaching at the U of M? Well, she's an old U of M, she's a former U of M graduate, and she really wanted to come back and give back to the university, and now she's been honored by the Michigan Council of Women in Technology Foundation. This is the first time that they've given this award,
yeah.
And so she earns it.
And her name is Nancy Benevich-Gilby, and
yep.
She is the Ehrenberg Director of Entrepreneurship at the University of Michigan School of Information. Yeah, right. We're hoping to be able to interview her sometime in the near future, but congratulations to her, and thanks to the Michigan Council of Women in Technology Foundation for recognizing this incredible talent. Another, something else I saw there was a little kind of concerning to me. That was a headline that you carried about climate change possibly escalating so fast that it could be, quote-unquote, game over, according to some scientists.
Yeah, this came from an intergovernmental panel on climate change, a report that came out. And the thesis is, you know, everybody knows, well, you can just tell. I mean, look how mild this winter is. The storms are getting more severe. But what they're saying is, instead of having this gradual kind of ramp up towards the end of the century, as it gets hotter, everything's going to come faster. And by the middle of the century, 2050 or thereabout, we could be up as much as 7 or 8 degrees.
Wow, overall. And some of the other implications of that, Mike, would be, I imagine, levels of the sea levels rising.
Oh, yeah, 3 foot. They're guessing at least 3 foot rise. So what happens to Florida? What happens to the coastal cities? And the concern is, you know, I'm not going to get into politics, but mm-hmm. The concern is our new president-elect doesn't believe in climate change and is going to move in the opposite direction, and that's really upsetting a lot of people.
Yeah, so this is like one of the headlines that Mike covers, folks. It's about entrepreneurship or sometimes, for instance, some of the awards that have come out, but also giving us insight into what's going on in terms of technology and entrepreneurship in our state of Michigan and around the world in general. One of the things that I found rather interesting, Mike, especially given this week with the presidential election that went on, was an article that you headlined in there about the GOP seizing the data advantage for the election here in Michigan, maybe ahead of the rest of the country.
Yeah, really. I mean, no one was more surprised than me because I look at all those. In fact, I looked at the polls on a daily basis and, you know, it was amazing. But what's even more amazing is after the 2012 election, the Republican National Committee got really big into data modeling. And on November 4th, I never can pronounce his name correctly. I think it's Reince Priebus, who's the head of the Republican National Committee, called our chair here, the Michigan Republican chair, Rona Robney McDonald, and told her that they had Trump winning by 8,000 votes in Michigan. That was Friday before the election.
That must have sounded kind of crazy at that point to Rona.
Yeah, well, and that's the reason everybody's wondering, well, why the heck is Trump and his entourage and everybody coming to Michigan when it's such a blue state? Well, it turns out that essentially this is a protest vote. Globalization, all these old auto workers that have been thrown out of jobs, all these other people, the middle class is pretty much disappearing, and now they've lost all that, and this was their way to, you know, he was saying what they wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that, you know, results in all these changes he promises, you know, remains to be seen.
Sure.
But there's some things you can do and some things you can't do. But, I mean, you can't really reverse globalization, no matter what he tells people.
Guy, I'm going to see if I can get my co-hosts here to pitch in on this. Why is it you think that they had the ability, the Republican National Committee here, had that ability to see deeper into the data than the Democrats at that time? Because they seem to be saying it's going to be a Clinton victory, get out of the way, it's a done deal. And it seemed like the deeper insight was here. What do you think, Eric?
I'm not sure, because, you know, when you know, Trump will have revisionist history here, but they were not necessarily looking at their data that said they were going to win. In fact, they had them kind of losing as well. But what was happening was everybody understood that there was a bias in the way that they inputted the information into the polls, i.e., you know, much more urban focused, only, you know, weren't calling cell phones, only calling landlines. A lot of people don't have landlines anymore. And so when you looked at all of that, and when it started to close, which it always does, and it got under that margin of error, hey, you know, let's try it. And these were the three states that seemed to make
Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin,
and Florida.
Oh, and Florida, that's right.
That's right. And if you could do something, you had to do it in one of those three states. And so it was amazing that, you know, as soon as the Republicans started spending a lot of time here, then all of a sudden the Democrats started to too. Mm.
Shane Hamlin, by the way, is in studio with us. He'll be here for the next hour.
Yes, I will. How are you?
I'm doing well. Some thoughts.
You know, I noticed a lot of the, you know, a lot of the polls were women directed, you know, and they were asking these questions that really didn't relate to myself. And I was always under the impression that I felt that a lot of the Trump followers were just quiet. They were almost afraid to say they followed Trump. So they're just sitting there. To be honest with you, if I were to be a Trump follower, I would have been afraid to put a sign out in front of my door.
Right, and said, hey, you know, vote for Trump, huh?
Unless you lived in Indiana, that's the only thing that was there.
But I think there were so many of those people just sitting there waiting. I'm just going to wait and cast my vote.
Which brings up the magic question, why were they scared?
You know why? Because, to be honest with you, what I've noticed in just looking at social media, that, boy, you mentioned Trump and you are attacked instantly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was vicious.
Well, a lot of us don't like the man, and at least don't like what he said.
Obviously, somebody likes him. He's the president.
But they did like what he was saying.
I don't know
some of what he was saying. Not all of what he was saying.
I don't think they necessarily liked him. But they liked what he was saying. Yeah. And it was that outrage, I think, that people tapped into. Yeah. What do you think, Ed?
Well, I agree. It has a lot to do with the social media, because there's a lot. People say things on social media that they would not say in conversation.
That's right.
And there were some friends of mine. We talked about this at the beginning of the hour. They would just say, like, I can't believe these words are coming out of your fingertips instead of out of your mouth. And you know, that is not something you would normally say in a conversation. So yeah, it was difficult.
The autopsy here on the election. A lot of people said that Sanders was saying the same thing, but from a different point of view. He was a change agent, and if he would have gone up against Trump now, in retrospect, they're saying Sanders might have had a better chance to win than Clinton, because she represented the status quo.
People weren't excited about Clinton. They were excited about Sanders.
Right.
Oh, guys, we could go on forever on this, and I'm sure dissecting will continue for a long time. Mike Brennan is the editor of MI Tech News. And if you'd like to subscribe to this, it's absolutely free. You'll get these headlines and much, much more video, all sorts of things, podcast as well. Simply go to mitechnews.com or go to internetadvisor.net, our website, and you can scroll down the page and you can sign up there. No cost, just put your email in there, and you are going to be receiving it twice a week. Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Buster. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. And